Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shacton Blog Talk Radio Show on every 7 days a week, whether at sometimes in the afternoon occasionally, sometimes at 5, sometimes 6:30, sometimes at 8, 10, 9:30, and 10 or 11. But you will get in this show the facts and the truth and nothing but the facts and the truth. No media lies, no media falsehoods, no political propaganda, only facts and truth. Tonight, I'm going to talk about something. I wrote something on this subject in a book called Essays on the Christian Worldview and Others, Political, Literary, and Philosophical. And I wrote this essay on why I believe in democracy. I do believe in democracy, with all its faults. I think it's the best of all possible worlds, since the many worlds that we have are quite confused. But I'm going to talk about this essay, and I'll give you a sense of what I'm driving at in this essay, why I believe in democracy. And I will probably hit this subject once again tomorrow night. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on giving you some background about the show and myself, and then go into the essay and talk about why I believe in democracy. And I hope that you find this engaging and interesting and stimulating, which is what a writer and thinker always hopes for. Now, I'd like to tell you that this show has three components: literary, Christian, and political. It's literary in the sense that I'm a great fan of the world literature, German, Russian, French, English, American. The book could be Herman Melville's Moby Dick. It could be E.M. Forster's A Passage to India. It could be John Milton's Paradise Lost. It could be Tolstoy's War and Peace and Anna Karenina. These are the great books, and these are the books that interest me and engage me, and I love great books and great literature. Doesn't have to be modern. It can be quite in the past, but the past has much to offer if we know it. If you don't know the past, you will obviously be deprived, and you will be in darkness and ignorance, not knowing the past. Because we stand on the shoulders of the past if we gain any knowledge of the present. This is a Christian show, and I welcome all faiths, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, etc., all ideas, opinions, communists, atheists. I know that Jesus loves everyone and died for everyone, and this show has a Christian component, and I welcome all faiths and ideas, because I know that Jesus loves all men and women, as St. Paul said in the letter to Timothy, God wills that all men and women be saved. That is the last word on the subject. He wishes everyone to share the eternal joy and love which is available in heaven. This show is has a political component. I oppose abortion and I oppose gay marriage. It doesn't mean I have any hatred or discrimination toward these people. I know that Jesus loves them and died for them and wants them to be with him. And whether a woman chooses to have an abortion or not is her decision. I think it's wrong. I think she has to be advised of the church's position on this issue, just as the same is true of gay marriage. I have nothing against our gay friends, and I love them. Jesus died for them, and he wants all these people to be with him and share the love and joy of eternal joy in heaven. Next, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. That's the show. I'll give you a little background about myself. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for media lies, media falsehoods, the big lie. We don't go in for that. We don't particularly concern ourselves with that. We're concerned with intellectual honesty and honest discernment and facts and truth. As I said, I'm a Christian, and I do adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the truth of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a Christian show. That doesn't mean that because I'm a Christian and I believe in the tenets of Christ and his ethics, it doesn't mean that I reject other faiths, because I know that Jesus rejects no one, that he wants all men and women to be with him in heaven in the joy of eternal life. He wishes the best. He wishes for everyone. He died for everyone. He gave cast down his life for all men and women, whether communist, whether atheist, whether gay, whether Hindu, whether Islamic, whatever they are, whoever they are, he loves them and wants them to be with him. And he gave his tortured and died on the cross because of his love for humanity. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him will never, never die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. That's his last word on this subject. He is the resurrection and the life, and that is what he offers to people, eternal life. Next, the show is a political component. I personally oppose abortion. I'm conservative in general in certain areas, such as opposing abortion and gay marriage. That doesn't mean I have any prejudice against these people. I know Jesus died for them and loves them very dearly, and I know he wants all men to share his eternal joy in heaven without question. Everyone, communist, atheist, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, he wishes the best for all, and he wants them to be with him in the joy of eternal life with the saints in heaven. Next, I have to say that I'm now going to tell you that I used to run a podcast show, and I've had over, it was a Christian show, and I had over 4,300 visitors from 80 countries, and I presently operate this blog talk radio show, which has many visitors from all over the world, including Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Japan, United Kingdom, Germany, etc. Many, many people from many places visit this show. The show is Christian, but many non-Christians visit both this podcast show and this blog talk radio show, which indicates their intellectual ability. They're willing to think, even though they may disagree. They're willing to use their minds and discern correctly whatever is of value in the Christian faith. I have a philosophy student friend in Iran, a wonderful student of philosophy, a Muslim, who was greatly attracted to my Christian books, I'm pleased to say, which indicates her intellectual ability. People who don't concern themselves with ideas and opinions and thoughts, their minds are in disuse, and the world, I suppose, they'll function on a basic level, but they will never get beyond the basics, which is unfortunate because we want to be raised up. As Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, we want to have our minds raised up and stretched by reading the great books. That's what we want from our thoughts. That's what we want for our children. We want their minds to be raised and raised up. And Mortimer Adler said that the Bible was the foundation of Western culture. He'd be in trouble for it today. And he said that images and television and computers and images and movies are drugs. If you want drugs, that's what you'll get. But you'll ruin the mind of your young people with these drugs. They will be made, they will not develop. We want developed people. We want people who are raised up. We do not want a society that is pushed down, which is our present situation. We are being pushed down into darkness and ignorance. We don't want that. It's not good. It's bad. It's destructive. Next, I have to say that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. I'm pleased to say, having looked at the WorldCat libraries that have bought these 2 legal books, many, many foreign libraries in Germany have bought these books. So if you look on WorldCat, you'll find them. There are libraries all over the world that have bought these books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. And I think you should be interested in knowing that Phillips Exeter Academy has bought Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2 for their talented students. That's the kind of people that are buying these books. Harvard has bought it. Yale has bought it. Those are the places that buy these books. As for my Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and my book on the Parables, and my book on the Psalms. These books have also been bought widely. The book on the parables is an interpretation of the 41 parables in the Gospel. The parables are extremely well worth reading and absorbing. They are quite demanding. They are interesting. They raise your mind immeasurably because they come from the thoughts of Christ and the Son of God. That is what the parables are. They are the thoughts of Christ on these seminal issues in the world. I also have recently written a book on my interpretation of 150 Psalms. I read the Psalms in Hebrew in seminary, not all of them, a lot of them. They're great, great Hebrew lyric poetry. They were written 3,000 years ago, but whoever wrote them was some kind of a genius, a poetic genius. He also, those Psalms also present the thoughts on the great issues of life. I read them for those reasons, for their thinking, for their intellectual, what they offer me intellectually, and for their lyric, poetic beauty. They are great poetry, and I advise you to take your kids to the library, get them a Bible, and read the Psalms to them. The Psalms are the most challenging, beautiful pieces of poetry that you can find in the world. And as I say, John Donne, the great English poet, and don't miss out for John Donne. He's a great poet. He's a great thinker. I have his sermons, and I have his sonnets, his poems. And he said the Psalms are the manna of the church. He meant it. They are the basis of the church's doctrine and thinking. They are the manna of the church. That's said by John Donne, a great, great genius. When you read these people, your life is changed. When you don't read them, your life remains on the ground and at the bottom. You will be at the bottom. Whatever you want to say about yourself, you may make a lot of money, but your mind will be atrophied without these works. I have to say that I'm writing other books. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing a book on my blog, four books on my blogs, poetic, political, philosophical, and theological blogs, four books of those. I'm writing a book on the book of Job, eventually. Job is a great book. He was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into the Bible, and it's a great, great piece of work which traces the temptations that God places on Job and how he overcomes them. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. Read it, and don't miss out on it. And don't have your children miss out on it. When they don't read these things, their minds are turned into dust. When they do read them, their minds are raised, raised, raised. We want a society that raises people up, that does not pull people down. Next, I've written a chapter on paternity in New York family law practice. I have written a chapter on evidence, res gestae, and Bender's consolidated evidence. I've written a chapter on New York jurisprudence and criminal law demands and notices, and I've written three law review articles on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department, as well as many other libraries in the world. And I also have written a law review article on an Albanian scientific journal on the United States educational system, again bought by the State Department and many other universities throughout the world. And I also have written a law review article on the Albanian Scientific Journal, Academicus, which I just described. And this one is about sexual orientation discrimination. And it's bought by the State Department and many universities. And I'm pleased to say that particular article is being republished in a major book along with other chapters. It will be a chapter in a major book. It was that good, okay, that a publisher has nabbed it to present itself as an added chapter in a book that is being published with this topic in mind, sexual orientation discrimination. Next, I want to talk about why it's very important to understand why I believe in democracy. I wrote this essay on it, and let me give you a little bit of review as to why I believe in democracy. Well, I'll talk about it more tomorrow night. First of all, democracy, if we understand it correctly, is a system of political equality where those over a certain age are given a voting, the right to vote. It is a system of political equality in which all citizens over a certain age are empowered and given the opportunity for political participation. It is a system of political equality which those have given, people are given the right to vote over a certain age and can participate in our political system. This has been misinterpreted. This actual truth about what democracy is has been interpreted to the point that there are people who take the position incorrectly that all people in a democratic system who have this equal voting right are in fact actually equal in their talents and abilities. That's ridiculous, frankly. It's a lie, and it's making fools of us all. We people vary in their talents and abilities, and I know that I will never be a concert violinist or a nuclear physicist or an epic poet or a leading playwright. I do not think I could be a great actor. In sum, a democracy does not mean that people are actually personally equal, since we all differ in whatever gifts we may possess. So it doesn't mean that we are actually all equal. It's a misinterpretation of democracy to take that position. We all differ in the gifts we possess. Democracy is a system of political equality operating through an equal voting right. And at its best, democracy does not mean all people are equal in their talents and abilities and thoughts. That's ridiculous, as I said. I look at myself, I will not be a concert violinist, or a nuclear physicist, nor an epic poet, or a leading playwright. I don't think I could be a great actor. Democracy implies, doesn't imply or mean actual equality, since we all differ in what our gifts and being possess. Democracy is a political system through an equal voting right. And you might say that at its best, democracy provides an equal starting point in life for many people and some equality of opportunity. It does give an equal starting point, which is good, and some equality of opportunity, which is also good. However, the idea that to interpret a democracy that all men are legal, are equal, is a terrible mistake. So what happens here in democratic societies, I think, in an attempt to equalize and actually equalize people, there develops what may be called a cult of mediocrity, in which people want to pull people down to the same basic level. And therefore, they come to believe they actually are equal, and they're not. So this cult of mediocrity, which develops in our democratic society, results in the desire of most Americans to see in their elected officials and politicians a regular beer-drinking guy. So, yes, democracy doesn't mean people are equal, but people wish to believe there is a kind of equality. It's a mistake. And so this cult of mediocrity develops, which rejects any sort of excellence that may distinguish one of us from another. Since we are practically equal, the idea is that we may actually be equal in talents, abilities, and attainments. So this cult of mediocrity, which is an attempt to push people down to everybody to an equal level, rejects any sort of personal excellence that may distinguish one of us from another. Since the idea of these people who believe this is that people are actually are equal in their talents, abilities, and attainments. And as it says, they are not actually equal. And to take that position is fairly absurd, actually. I will not be a concert violinist. I will not be a nuclear physicist. I will not be an epic poet or a leading playwright. I don't think I could be a great actor. We differ in our gifts and talents. Democracy is no more than a system of political equality in which provides an equal starting point and some equality of opportunity. So and then, as I said, because of this desire to push people down into a sort of an equal mode, there develops a cult of mediocrity, which is exhibited by most Americans wishing to see in their elected officials a regular guy. This cult of mediocrity, which is what I just described, rejects any sort of excellence that may distinguish one of us from another. The idea we're all practically equal, we must be equal in talents, abilities, and attainments. And so this results, there's a leveling process that results in an adulation of the average and mediocre. And so this is a kind of a cult of mediocrity in which Americans a desire to see in their elected officials a regular guy. This cult of mediocrity, there's a dislike of excellence which may distinguish people from one another, which is the reality. And since we're all practically equal, we must be actually equal. And that's absurd. We're not equal and never will be. And what happens is this cult or leveling occurs, which results in the adulation of the average and mediocre. This is some of the failings of the democratic system. But I still feel the democratic system, in which our leaders are subject to voting scrutiny, I think it's good. I believe in it. I believe it's good. I do not believe in democracy as merely a form of government because people are actually equal, because that's not true. I do believe in democracy as a system of government in which our elected officials are scrutinized by the voters. I think that's good. But I do not believe in democracy as a good form of government because people are actually equal. That's not true. I believe in democracy, and this is the reason I believe in it, and you people may not like this reason, because I know that power, if concentrated in few or one person, will be abused. Power given to one or few will be abused. This is the reason why I believe in democracy, not because people are great and good. They're not. But I do know that I don't believe in democracy as a form of government because people are actually equal, because I believe in democracy because that power, if concentrated in the few or one person, will be abused. Power given to one or a few will be abused because on some deep level there is a corruption in human nature that cannot be evaded or escaped. You have to face this problem in human nature. And I believe in democracy because I know that power, if it isn't distributed widely, if it's concentrated in the few or one person, will be abused. Power given to one or few will be abused. And that's a fact. This abuse can occur in a marriage. It can occur in a job. Let's take the real reason why I believe in democracy. Not because people are actually equal, not because they're so good, not that they're so great. It isn't true. They're not good and they're not great. And they're not actually equal. I believe in democracy knowing that power, if concentrated in the few or one person, will be abused. And power given to one or few will be abused because on some deep level there's a corruption in human nature that can't be escaped or eradicated. This can occur in a marriage. This can occur in a job. I believe in democracy, and this is the real reason. It's a terrible reason to give, because men, if given the chance, are so bad that no man alone can be entrusted with unchecked power over his fellows. Not because they're so good, not because they're so talented, they're not. I believe in democracy because men, if given the chance, are so bad that no man alone can be entrusted with unchecked power over his fellows. I oppose slavery, not because I'm concerned about slaves. I'm not concerned about them. I oppose slavery because I fear and oppose masters. I fear and oppose people, the few who are given power, and that power will be abused. Because I believe in democracy, not because people are equal, not because they're good, not because they're great, but because if concentrated in the few, that power will be abused. I believe in democracy, and I'll say it again, because men, if given the chance, are so bad that no man alone can be entrusted with power, unchecked power, over his fellows. I oppose slavery not because I'm concerned about slaves, but because I fear and oppose masters. I fear and oppose power given to one or two people. Men, if given the chance, will allow their egotism, selfishness, and desire to dominate and to rule. That is why people are none good, they are bad. And if they're given the chance, if they have given unchecked power, their egotism, selfishness, and domination and desire to rule will come to the fore. The baseness and corruption of people, if given unlimited power, will come to full power. This is the reality. I'll say it again because I believe in democracy, because men, if given the chance, are so bad and so corrupt that no person alone, one person or two person, can be trusted with unchecked power over his fellows. You see what happens with Pol Pot given unchecked power. You see what happens with Stalin given unchecked power. You see what happens with Mao given unchecked power. You see it's given with Hitler with unchecked power. I fear and oppose masters, and not because people are so good, not because they are not, but because I know that men are so bad that nobody can be entrusted with unchecked power. Democracy posits the real truth about democracy is that it really deals with this, the truth that men are not equal, they are unequal, and democracy distributes and checks power by a system of checks and balances. By a voting of the majority, power is distributed and the abuse of power is prevented. I believe in democracy not because men are good, but because everybody is the same. They're not the same and they're not good. Well, because everybody's equal and they're not equal. They're not good, particularly. Not everybody, but not the same. They're unequal. And everybody's not equal, but it's the best form of government since it recognizes that the rule of the few must be subject to the control of the many, because the few are, if given unchecked power, are evil, unless there are rules and limits on human nature, we will be destroyed by one person abusing their power given to them. So, we have laws to control human nature. Without them, we're barbarians. And I want to control this. Unlimited power in one may give rise to the corruption that I just described, the Hitlers and the Stalin. Democracy envisions not a world of good and equality, but a world that requires a dispersal of power in as many as possible, knowing who we are as human beings and what we may actually do and be capable of. We have laws to control human nature. Without laws, we are barbarians. Unlimited power in one of the few, unaccounted for, must give way to the corruption that only lies slightly beneath the surface of us all. Democracy envisions a world not of totally good people, not of totally equal people, but a world that requires a dispersal of control and power in as many as possible, because we know, and you know, and I know who we are and what we may actually do as persons. I'm going to go back and do another element of this tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about democracy, and I've cleared up what's good about it and what's bad about it. It's the best of all possible worlds. You can find this essay in my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview and Others, Political, Literary, and Philosophical, pages 7 to 10. And I'm going to begin again talking about this tomorrow night in a more narrow and extensive discussion. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you see what I'm saying. Bye.